On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
What's up, everybody? This is Fred Smoot.
This is Landon Collins.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kerrigan. This is the Redskins Talk Podcast with JP Finley.
What up, everybody? JP Finley, Redskins Talk Podcast. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're being safe. These are crazy times. Everybody listen to what they're telling you, even if it drives you bananas, because that's what's going on in my house with a dog, a wife, and two small children who don't give the slightest F that everybody's stuck in the house and can't go anywhere. As always, we're brought to you by the great folks at Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. They are open, all six stores, wide open, ready for business. Listen, man. Your car does not care about coronavirus. The brakes are going to go. The oil needs changing. The transmission can get messed up. All these things can happen. Oarsman will take care of you. Look them up online. Call them. You know, look at them in the yellow pages if that still exists. Whatever you need. Mitch Tischler's here and Pete Haley is here. Gentlemen, how do you do?
Doing great. Throwing on another light-colored shirt to make me feel like I'm on the islands. Ready to go today.
Good for you, pal. I'm wearing the official uniform of the coronavirus of the coronavirus lockdown, I should say. Shorts, hoodie, obviously.
You look good, JP. You look like you just came from the gym, which I know is the purpose. And right before this call, I looked up how to gel my hair. I'm growing my hair out, so I want to learn how to gel it properly. So that's what I was doing before we got together.
Just let Kim take care of it.
Yeah, I will. Some tips on how to rub it in your hands and which way to kind of flow it. It was useful.
Oh, you'd like watch a YouTube video on that rather than just messing around when you get out of the shower and your hair's wet, you can mess with it then.
No, it was a 3.5 minute like Englishman really giving some good nitty gritty details.
What a weirdo.
So you're promising it's going to start looking good?
I'm just worried about I don't know how to get rid of the sides.
Instead of Novak Djokovic.
Great line from both of you.
No, that's from one of the commenters on the Instagram. I'm not taking credit for that.
Okay, you shouldn't.
I don't know who it is. Maybe you can look it up because that person deserves a credit. Yeah. I've got to run through a few announcements here. We're going to do a TV show. Huzzah! There will be Uncle Don doesn't listen to the podcast, has no idea we're talking about him, but I bet he'll be watching Monday night, 6 o'clock. We're doing a mock draft show. It'll be the three of us, B. Mitch and Julie. We got some awesome guests lined up. Tune in. I've heard from a lot of you on social media that you miss Redskins shows. We got one coming. So buckle up. It's going to be fun. Also, at the end of this podcast, or not at the end, we have an interview coming in this podcast with Safid Dean. He's a Dolphins reporter for the South Florida Sun Sentinel. He's a good dude. He and I have become buddies hanging out at the last few combines. We have some friends in common. And basically, we want to talk to Safid about, look, man, is this Dolphins trade actually going to happen? Because that's really the only thing that kind of makes sense, is Miami flipping out about Tua and moving up to number two. So we have a good at-length discussion about that. Lastly, we got to talk about the YouTube. We were so excited about the YouTube, and now we're not going to talk about it. It's like Fight Club. The first rule of Fight Club is you don't talk about Fight Club. All right.
If you're a lawyer, stop listening 10 seconds ago.
All right. This week – we are going to this week, the Redskins PR department has been cool and set up a number of conference calls with newly signed players. And so we were on these calls. We got to listen to them. We got to ask some questions, got to engage with some people. And we're going to run through kind of what stood out the most from each player that we talk to. This was Pete's idea. Before we do that, though, Pete has another idea. Brokovich is full of ideas tonight. So tell everybody about the reviews, Peter.
Yeah, so you guys have a lot more time on your hands, and I just want to remind you that you can rate the Redskins Talk podcast on the podcast app. If you have an Apple phone or an Apple computer, go to that app, search Redskins Talk, and rate us. It can be a good rating or a bad one. We're probably going to read them and look at them no matter what. And my challenge to you is to use a word that will require us to look it up in the dictionary, something very confusing in your review, just one really adult mature word that makes Mitch go on dictionary.com and type it up and figure out what it means.
Does it have to be confusing for all three of us or just you, Pete?
Yeah. Who has the best vocab of the three of us? It's definitely not Pete.
It's definitely not Pete.
Which is weird because Pete probably has like the highest SATs or something of us. But
I kind of think it is me, but that's fine. I'll just let you guys stomp all over me.
So here's what I want to do. Maybe this is an idea we can do on the NBC Sports Washington YouTube page. Go check them out and subscribe.
Podcast Jeopardy?
Yeah. I will smoke you guys. I am really good at Jeopardy.
I'm pretty good at Jeopardy, too.
I think I can see that. I think Pete is going to be bad.
But Pete's been practicing all quarantine.
Kim all you have is to do, smarter than you, I'm guessing.
All you have to do is call me Kirk Cousins, and that rattles me, and then I will just fold under pressure, and then you guys will bout it out for the top spot.
You know me, I always perform under pressure in contests of skill.
Yes.
Get me. If you ever have to bet on me playing golf, bet on the front nine, never on the back nine.
The first eight holes.
Yeah.
Like the opposite of the Maryland Terrapins college basketball team. You want JP in the first half and then the Terps in the second half.
You know what I miss?
I'm like the Terps. I just let you get out to a lead and then slowly come back.
I miss golf. All right, let's talk some football.
I miss a lot of things.
The headliner is Kendall Fuller. I'd say the headliner of this free agency class is Kendall Fuller, right? He got the most money. We talked to Kendall Fuller, and Kendall Fuller is going to be on our mock draft show, an exclusive television interview. Can we call Zoom television, Mitch? You're the expert.
Sure.
Okay.
It's going to be on television, so yeah.
Yeah, there you go. I'll start with Kendall. What stood out to me was that he doesn't know where he's going to play either. Everybody's been talking about, oh, he's a slot guy. I contend that when they're in base, Kendall Fuller is going to be on the field. He's not their highest paid cornerback to be on the bench for 35% of the team's snaps. So I think folks that just assume he can't play on the outside are assuming too much. I think he will play plenty of nickel. But he talked about, I want to be an outside corner. I love playing cornerback. But then he allowed, but I also know I'm really good inside. And that's he didn't say this, but that's a big chunk of the reason he got paid well. So that to me really stood out, that he doesn't know. Like, these guys don't know. There's no practice. There's no OTAs. There's nobody going to Ashburn and watching film together, so they just don't know.
To me, it's almost in the same ilk of what you were talking about, JP, when he was talking about playing in the slot, not so much about how much he wants to, but how when you're a slot corner, you get kind of put in that box as you're a slot corner, and they don't think that you can play on the outside. And to me, I just was listening to him talk about that and was thinking about Fabian Moreau and the way that we looked at Kendall Fuller the first time around and how, you know, we all talked – He's a slot corner. And we didn't really get to see him in D.C. play on the outside much. It wasn't until he got to Kansas City that he got a few more opportunities and we got to see what he could do. Same with Fabian. He's been playing mostly in the slot, went to the outside at the end of last season. You know, obviously there was good and bad with that last year, but certainly we talked about how we thought Fabian Moreau, you know, could be a better outside corner than he was slot, maybe with a whatever this counts as a full offseason, but some more reps at outside, maybe he and potentially Kendall can be your two outside guys and go forward with that and, you know, let the rest of the guys that they brought in compete and see where they fall in.
The thing that stood out to me the most was the last kind of question we asked Kendall about his experience in the Super Bowl and the interception he made. And Kendall's like, yeah, I mean, that was a cool moment, but I'm already kind of in the offseason and not looking back too much at that. And the line I liked best was, at the end of the day, you grind and work to make sure that's not the last play that you're remembered for, and you go back out there and make those same plays in the season next year. So for a 25-year-old guy to kind of reach the top of the NFL and already be looking at getting back to that point just a month and a half separated from when he made that incredible play at the game's biggest stage, I thought was impressive, and kind of the kind of personality that Ron Rivera and Jack Del Rio want in their players.
I think when you have three older brothers that all played in the NFL, yeah. you have a much bigger picture perspective on life in the NFL. And I think you see that. I think we saw that with Kendall when he was a rookie and like was coming back from the knee injury. He's a different dude. He's mature. He's well grounded. And I think you see all those things. All right, Mitchell, you had something you wanted to say about Thomas Davis. Hopefully, what was his cliche last time? Stick his nose into the.
Oh, I went deep on the cliches.
Yeah. So don't let us down.
I just like – I don't know if it's going to be that, but I liked when Thomas Davis talking about how when he played with Ron, practices were harder than games. For so long with Jay, we talked about Club Jay and how soft practices were, and they weren't hitting and they weren't wearing pads, and it was so – you know, practices were easy. You saw guys dancing and kind of just taking some liberties in how focused and how attentive they were, and I believe that's not going to be the case with Ron. Listening to Thomas Davis talk about that really just kind of like got me excited for Ron and how he's going to run this team and the discipline and the physicality that he's going to bring. Sorry for the cliches.
The flip side of that though is that Davis also said that Ron will take care of you, and because he's a former player, he understands what this is like, and so I just think it's a unique perspective. And like when you talk to guys that played for him, I think things can be more serious without necessarily being more or overly physical. Like, I don't think that means they're going to have pads on twice a week in November. You know what I mean? It's just like, even when Callahan took over, the tone at practice changed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
To me, it felt more like training camp isn't going to be loosey-goosey. And I think we can all agree at times training camp was pretty – loosey-goosey under Jay. And I think that if we're talking about, you know, it being more harder, practices harder, I think that's what we're going to see.
You just have to let the cat out, Pete?
Yeah, Millie was in here and she wanted to leave. I guess she was tired of Mitch's cliches and had to get the hell out of the room.
She wants Lions talk.
Yes, nice.
She got scared by your mane, Pete.
She's sad that Ron is off the Panthers, guys. I think that's her deal.
Okay. You got anything?
So my note about Davis is, so he mentioned that, you know, Rivera was a big influence in him coming to the Redskins, but he also feels like the places are in place to be successful. He looked at the front four and then even the top six or eight guys as potential game wreckers. So I had two reactions. One, it's cool to know that a veteran 37-year-old looked at the roster. This is a guy who's been a part of a lot of really good fronts, a lot of really powerful defenses, and said, yeah, the Redskins can be that. But it also walks that fine line that Jack Del Rio kind of mentioned when we talked to him a few months ago. He said, I don't give a damn about potential. Potential doesn't matter. So Davis was being overly positive, and it's good that he thinks this team can be that way. But like John Allen and Jack Del Rio said before, that talk really doesn't matter. It makes for nice fodder for podcasts like ours and looks good on a press release. But this is the same group that went 3-13 last year. So hopefully guys like Davis and better coaching can put those pieces that exist and elevate them to really good, successful pieces instead of just pieces on a depth chart.
I'd like to say the team went 3-13 last year is turning into a cliche.
Wait, what?
So many times, like everyone knows. We got it. Everyone knows, Pete.
No, absolutely not.
No, people get excited about this team. You have to remind them that they're 3-13.
You stop it with that bullish BS. Do not stop.
What's bullish about it?
Going 3-13 is absolutely relevant. They need to wear that. Yes.
Okay.
They were bad. They were bad, bad.
Who's saying they weren't?
Dude, you're doing a disservice to people, dude. Like,
I'm not saying they were good. I'm saying that
Bill Parcells is one of the greatest coaches in the NFL, right? You are what your record is. Do not dance around that.
Nobody's saying otherwise. I didn't argue that. I'm not saying that otherwise. What's that?
You just told him to what did he say to you, Pete?
He said it's a cliche and we get it. Stop bringing up 3-13. He just said to stop bringing it up.
We don't have to say it every single time. That's all I'm saying.
When the defensive coordinator says, stop telling me about the pieces, everybody in the NFL has good talent, we collectively need to stop saying that stuff too. And I think Thomas Davis is just being a good veteran signing with a new team. If Jackson Dinalake or any of our esteemed listeners want to go and search Thomas Davis quotes from last year when he signed with the Chargers, I bet there might be an exact same one. So 3-13 is a part of this damn story. It's a big part of it.
Of course it is. I'm not saying it's not.
You told him not to say it.
I'm saying it's a cliche to say it every single time.
No.
You don't think Redskins fans that are listening to this know the team sucked last year? You think that they listen to Thomas Davis and they're like, oh yeah, you're right. The defense was good last year.
Some of them
the front four was good last year.
Some of them do. So many people are telling us that yeah, they're going to be 10-6 and this extra playoff spot's going to.
How many people are saying, oh, could this be the Niners?
Yeah, doubling a win total for this team gets them to 6-10. It's hard to double your win total. You have to tell them that they were 3-13 last year. That matters. That's a scar that is going to
tell the truth. What's Will Smith in the concussion movie? Tell the truth.
That's a stench that's hard to get off, Mitch, and I'm more than happy to remind people that this team was 3-13 last year.
All right, Bullish. Keith, you keep wearing it.
Bullish Mitch.
I don't know what I'm being bullish about.
Are we on planet Earth?
Like, I'm not saying that they were good. By no means am I saying they were good.
We're moving on.
Let's move on.
Sean Davis. This is what stood out to me. He's excited to come home. I like that he grew up a Redskins fan. He said he would check skin scores when he was with the Steelers. But it jumped out to me when he said he hadn't talked to Ron Rivera. Right? Am I crazy?
Yeah. Meanwhile, J.D. McKissick's talked to Ron, Scott Turner, a couple other people, and his running back coach.
I want to say this. A lot of that, I think, is coronavirus affected. Because normally, Sean Davis would be in Ashburn, taking a physical, signing his contract, and you just – if you've ever been to Redskins Park, it's not very big. You would have met everybody just walking around. So I think coronavirus is a big part of that because nobody's going to facilities. Everything is front of – it's probably Kyle Smith, Rob Rogers calling Sean Davis's agent, and, like, that's how most of this stuff is happening. But I just found that weird, honestly.
You talked about him growing up a Redskins fan. I thought it was apropos. Today we're recording this pod on Wednesday night, Sean Taylor's birthday, and he talked about how he grew up loving the guy, and obviously so many safeties that are in the game now grew up idolizing Sean, but just felt apropos when he started talking about today.
Yeah, that's true. Peter?
Just his kind of enthusiasm about playing free safety. He's a guy who's played both kinds of safety and said he's honestly more comfortable doing the strong safety role, but landing here ready to be the free safety and be kind of the last line of defense. I'm not getting too excited because I mentioned David Bruton a couple pods ago. We have lots of safeties come in here year after year and say that they're going to be the answer to this woeful position, but Sean Davis's speed and athleticism at least make it seem like he'll pair well with Landon Collins, but actually accomplishing that is a whole nother task.
I'm on the record that I like Davis, but it's a fair point, especially when he says he'd rather be down in the box than playing deep. I thought that was kind of interesting. Like, you have the speed to play deep. Also, two things, because I do have to circle back to Thomas Davis because Mitch got me so heated that I forgot my point.
Shocker.
But with Thomas Davis, I wanted to say this. I found it – oh, no. So here's my – stay with me. Sean Davis.
Here we go.
The way he started talking about Landon Collins, remember last year when there was this whole movement about, hey, he's not a box safety. That's not fair to him. And now they're signing somebody to let him play in the box. I just, oh, well, maybe they were right. You know what I mean? I just found that kind of interesting. And it's dumb. It's semantics. It's terminology, vernacular. But, like, it just, what a difference a year makes. All right, that's the Sean Davis point. Back to Thomas Davis because Mitch just went off the complete rails. He kind of took a shot at Josh Norman, which I thought was weird. And he definitely took a shot at the former Redskins defensive coaching staff. Because he's like, yeah, you know, I think – and this is where maybe Mitch was trying to go with his absurdity of not bringing up the record. Because Thomas Davis said, you know, I think we're going to be better, a better coaching staff, a better secondary. Josh Norman's my friend, and he was pretty bad last year, and the coaching was bad. So, like, maybe the point is we've got some players. We're going to have much better coaching. This thing should be better. And I agree with that, but I go back to if you double the win total, you're at 6-10. So let's not – I'm not going to say it, but if anybody knows Mr. Wolf's famous quote in Pulp Fiction, I think now is a good time to say it in your head. Are we good here? Are we ready to move on to Kyle Allen?
Sure. Yes. As long as we don't hit any more cliches.
Around. It's very disorienting.
Yeah, when you got up and walked around, Pete, it really threw me off.
Can you just sit Like, I'm the king of not being able to sit still, and I'm able to sit still.
Why don't
you're in a nice, comfortable office chair.
Yeah, why don't you guys just learn how to deal with me walking around for a couple feet every 5 minutes? I think that's
because we're going to put these videos on the NBC Sports Washington YouTube page, and it's going to look weird with you walking around all the time in your dorm room.
Yeah, and the country's going to be fine by Easter. So let's believe what we believe, okay?
You realize that folks that are going to be putting this up are listening to this, are going to listen.
Well, is that what that was?
He was making a shot.
That was a shot. that was a heck of a shot. All right. Let's keep it moving.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman, Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
Kyle Allen is not here to play games. Kyle Allen is coming for your wife, your girlfriend, and your starting job. And I don't know if he's going to get it, but that's what Kyle Allen is coming to Washington to do.
Would you say gunslinger?
So my thing –
that's a cliche, Mitch.
Like, some people are trying to maybe make him saying – that Ron told him he's going to have a chance to compete for the starting job.
Of course, he told him that. What's he going to say?
People are trying to say, like, oh, Ron's saying in public that Dwayne's a starter, but he's really going behind people's backs and telling
them. Who's the guard they just signed? Vujicic.
Vujicic, whatever his name is, yeah.
I bet Ron told that. If Ron has even talked to that dude, I bet he's told that dude, you'll have a chance to compete to start at right guard, even though Brandon Sheriff just signed a franchise tag.
Yeah, so
Kyle Allen's answer about competition. He's like, man, that's what we do. That's what we've been doing since high school and college. Like, that's just what – and that's – I saw your tweet on this, Pete, that, like, Kyle Allen had some Case Keenum in him, and they both played at Houston, even though Kyle Allen started at Texas A&M and was, I believe, the number one overall recruit in the country way back when. I mean, he was a very big deal. But, like, these guys know they have to compete. I think people are making much too much of that. If you think Kyle Allen will beat out Dwayne Haskins because you think Kyle Allen's better or Dwayne Haskins isn't good, that's fine. That's a different argument. But to think that Kyle Allen's getting the job because Ron Rivera told him he gets to compete for it, you're making too much out of what is a fairly generic coaching statement.
Yes, and that was basically my idea is that if you're putting your antenna up and saying, yeah, Kyle Allen's going to have to take it, is going to be the starter in week one, I think you're just kind of overstepping what he was really talking about. It was just basic boilerplate answer, in my opinion.
I like that Kyle Allen group that he's quarantining himself with. Yeah. Sam Darnold and Josh Allen out in LA. It seems like a pretty cool group to hang out with for a few weeks while you got to stay indoors or stay confined. And the three of those guys working together can only be good things for Kyle, working with guys who have started in the league and who have been through what Sam Darnold's been through and honestly what Josh Allen has in the public. It's probably good for him to spend some time around those guys and see what happens.
I wonder if Darnold is like, you know how like people that are at risk or whatever are supposed to be extra careful? Like, I wonder if the mono – isn't mono like an immune thing? We're getting into weird doctor territory.
But I think it like goes away. Like when it goes away, it goes away.
Okay.
I'll tell you what, I hope Kyle Allen doesn't get mono.
One more Kyle Allen tidbit is he was talking about Scott Turner's system and him saying, I think it takes a decent amount of time to really learn and grasp onto. That's just something to file away as we maybe don't have as much time for Dwayne Haskins to get his hands and his brain kind of in that system. So maybe that could harm Dwayne in the future. Just keep that in mind. Kyle Allen talking about Scott Turner's plan.
I think beyond just the system, which is a big part of this, but eventually they're going to have iPads and they can study as much as they want. I think it's the FaceTime. I think it's like the individual interaction. Think about, like, we're a better podcast because we know each other so well. You know what I mean? Like, who's the guy with the crazy eyes that worked with Peyton Manning that everybody that keeps getting jobs?
Adam Gase.
Yeah, Adam Gase. Like, he was great with Peyton and they spent all that time together, but now he's on his own. And you know what I mean? I just think you can't replace individual interaction.
So you brought up the iPads. Normally it's during the first mini camp or the first off season activity that the players are given iPads and able to start working through them.
Right.
Might so be interesting to do some digging since all that stuff is canceled. When they're going to be able to get their iPads and get their hands on stuff.
Well, and let's be serious. The NFL is so paranoid all the time. Are they really going to ship iPads with playbooks on them? Like,
are they going to email attachments with plays on it?
Unless you can email it via Bitcoin and have that thing encrypted or whatever. Like, I certainly don't think they're going to email it. Because think about
the blockchain technology to send out playbooks.
Call it 60 players times 30 teams. How many players is that? Right now rosters are at 90. 90 times 30 is how much?
2,700.
So call it 3,000 people would get that email. That would get out, even if they're separate emails. That's crazy. One dude lets his buddy see it because his buddy's a coach. You know what I mean? Like, you can't email it. It's got to be a physical copy. And actually, this is a really good segue into what I want to talk about. It was an idea from super listener Taki Yamaguchi. But let's finish what we're doing with J.D. McKissic. Stood out to me was like kind of the Christian McCaffrey jokes. I wrote a story about it. Like, he's a wideout. He's just too small to play wideout in the NFL, so they converted him to a running back. But we don't all have to give a nugget on McKissic because it wasn't the most enthralling interview. So let me look at this real quick. I believe his two best seasons in the NFL, 2017 in Seattle and then 2019 in Detroit, both years he had 34 catches. With the Washington Redskins, over under 33.5 catches for J.D. McKissic.
I'm going under. I think if Darius Geis is healthy, I think he's going to – there's going to be formations that they're going to bring in J.D. McKissic, but I think Geis can be a weapon out of the backfield catching the ball too, and I think he's going to get more of those opportunities, obviously, assuming that he stays healthy.
I think he said in this call at some point that the Redskins were kind of in his ear early and he knew that once the Lions let him free that he was going to go to Washington. I think Scott Turner looks at McKissic as a really kind of valuable weapon. And, I mean, he had the line about Christian McCaffrey had 100 catches and Scott told me, I'm going to get mine, but not 100. I think they're going to use him a lot. I think Peterson will be the bell cow. Geis is just so undependable with his health. Peyton Barber and Bryce Love we haven't seen much of. Peyton Barber's more of your just running back, just taking carries up the middle. So I think McKissic's going to go over that number, and I think he's going to be like a sneaky, useful weapon. Maybe not as well as Chris Thompson played, but I like McKissic's potential in the offense with Scott.
I pretty much agree with Pete. I think he can get to like 40 catches easy. I think McKissic goes over. I think he can play. I think he's shifty. I think they targeted him. I mean, if you listen to his interview, he said that because he was a restricted free agent, they weren't sure they were going to get out of Detroit, but as soon as Detroit didn't tender McKissic, he thought he was going to Washington. Like, they went and got this kid. So to me, that matters, and it means that. Think about it. He's talked to Ron Rivera. He's talked to Randy Jordan and Scott Turner. So I'm going over. The odd man out in that group is really interesting, and I think it's too early to frame, man, because two of the main people are hurt, and I'll tell you who's on is Adrian Peterson, 100%. And today, right now, I'm tempted to say J.D. McKissic because they went and got him. And Geis and Love got to be healthy. The good news for them is now they don't have to deal with us seeing them not practice at OTAs and then us asking questions. Like, there's not going to be anything until late July is my guess. And that's if late July happens. So they got time on their side, but I don't know what their rehab is. I don't know that they have access to all the crazy things that, like, super modern sports medicine facilities have, like underwater treadmills and all these other things. If you're stuck at home, I don't have an underwater treadmill. I don't have one. You got one, Mitch?
No, Pete, you got one up in Michigan?
No, I don't have a treadmill or any sort of underwater machine, so I'm 0-2.
All right. So who's the odd man out debate in the backfield is fun, but it's premature and it's kind of unfair right now, so we're not going to do it. We're going to table that, and we will have that discussion soon.
Soon. I can take soon.
But, like, we're going to have that soon, like the country's going to reopen soon. Like, we don't know when any of this is going to happen.
Easter.
Easter.
What's Tack's idea?
Well, we're going to thank Oarsman Automotive of Virginia real quick, Peter.
My bad, yeah.
We ride with them, want you to do the same thing. They got every car you can imagine. They'll lease it to you. They'll sell it to you. I guess they don't rent it to you, but they'll give you a used one. They'll give you car washes. They'll do it all. Call Biagi. I'm tempted to give out his home phone number. I'll text him and see if he wants me to do that. All right. So I wrote this story and I feel like it's important. And I want to be clear that I thought the league should push back free agency and the new league year. And I was wrong, frankly. I read that wrong. I know what free agency has looked like, and I didn't think they'd be able to do it without it looking the same. And I thought that the previous model of free agency absolutely would have put more people at risk. And I still think if it had gone like that, it would have. But they didn't do it that way. They changed everything. They remodeled everything. And it's a testament to kind of the power and the vision of the NFL, and my hat's off to them. You were right, I was wrong. Own that, okay? So the NFL has now come out, and unless you guys disagree,
I disagree. Yeah. I think that it certainly has been good for us and for fans and everybody that has something to talk about, but I think we're too early into this. You saw Adam Schefter talked about, you know, teams honoring the contracts that they agree to with players pending physicals. Well, teams can start doing what the Ravens did and just start failing players for unpassed physicals if they find a better deal or they think they overpaid or they pull someone from the draft or whatever.
Yeah, but they do that.
Say it again?
I mean, the Ravens specifically did that, have done that before anyway. Who'd they do right. that to?
The Ravens did it. They did it with Ryan Grant when they gave him that too big of contract. But I think that felt like a one-off, and I think players and maybe others were a little displeased with what the Ravens did there. I think we might see more teams start doing that, and I think you're going to create a lot of friction between the PA and the owners, who should be in a lovey-dovey situation because they just signed a long-term deal and there's no labor issues.
All right.
I think it's too early to say that we should be happy about free agency. That's all.
I disagree. I think that you're kind of straw-manning. Like, that can happen, but that's such – if 100 deals got done, maybe two or three of them get, you know, invalidated. Frankly, I'm at a place where people need something to talk about, man, and I think that's important. And that's where I'm going with this because this is what Tak wanted to know. I think the NFL saying the season goes on as planned, regularly scheduled in all these cities – is what people need. And it's too early to cancel stuff in September. It is, it's unnecessary. The schedule's not even out yet. Like, it's one thing if in a few weeks the NFL schedule usually drops the week before the draft. If they decide, hey, we're not dropping the schedule till June. Okay. I understand that. But like right now we need something to look forward to. And I think people look forward to football. I know I do, and I'm cool with it. I am 100% in support of – because right now they're not – nobody's going to games. Nobody's tailgating. They're just talking about it. It's just words, man. Actions are what matter. Words are just ether.
Rule one of Tandler.
Yeah. Don't listen to what they say. Watch what they do. Peter?
Yeah. I guess I'm looking at it, but I'm using the words are just words mantra the other way. Like, I'm glad they're saying it's still going to go and we're going to have the season, but no one can project that. This continues to grow. This continues to spiral. Who knows? So I sure as hell hope we have a season to go to and we don't have to not write about the Redskins playing starting in September and we can go to training camp and watch JD McKissick versus Peyton Barber, but I'm not going to get too overly excited or prepared for, because I feel like in a month or so, it could be a totally different world we're living in. So I'm taking the pessimistic approach. Sorry.
Man, we have to have an offline discussion because I don't know. Reaching a breaking point, gentlemen. Get me honest with you.
I think, listen, it's a good thing to say. It's a good thing to get people's hopes up. But like you said, it's a straw man. It's straw words until we get closer and figure out what's happening with everything.
Really suffering, man. So you just hope. One, you hope that things get back to normal so that those people get their lives back. And two, I think people need something to look forward to, man. I really do. I want to send a congratulations to our boy Jay Blount on the Mount Rushmore listeners for sending to our group chat one of the creepiest, wildest pictures I've ever seen in my life.
I'm working on a Photoshop for him right now.
I mean, you know who I think? He looks like you know, in Tombstone, like the leader of the bad guys that always wears red with the mustache and everything. Have you ever seen Tombstone?
No, I've played Tomb Raider, but I've never seen Tombstone.
Tombstone is great. Like, I think your dad probably loves it. You should watch that sometime.
I think it looks like Jack Sparrow.
This will only be funny to the three of us and Chuck and Danny and Jay, but for this picture is creepier than all the pictures Jay has been sending, and Jay has been sending the creepiest pictures ever. So that's funny for us six and nobody else.
No, well, we can tease it. What is that meme that's going around called?
I have no idea, and I'm not going to be the one to talk about it.
Yep, it's all you, JP.
Certainly not going to be the one to Google it. I'll tell you that. all right, we're going to move on. We got Safedine coming on from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Really good dude. We'll let you guys hear what he has to say about a potential Redskins-Dolphins trade. Before we go to Safed, if it was proposed right now, Skins get five – I can't remember what the numbers show. I think it's
18, 26.
No. Like the draft capital chart, it would just be 5 and 18. 5 and 18, and then they sweeten it with like a day three pick, I believe. Because I think the second pick is worth 2,600 points. And then, are you pulling that up, Pete?
No, you want me to Google the draft chart?
You know what Pete's doing right now? He's definitely Instagramming. He's definitely looking at Instagram right now.
Guilty.
I'm pulling it up.
Oh, yeah. It's right here.
What are you looking at?
Of course.
Yeah, what are you going to pull up that chart, JP? Let's move on.
Yeah, I'm on it. All right. So the second pick is worth 2,600 points. 5 and 18 are worth 1,700 plus 900, which I think is 2,600, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. So let's just leave it right there. So the numbers are the same. And we know from my reporting that the Redskins are highly aware of the draft capital chart, because in their negotiations with some of these Trent Williams conversations, they're like, listen, we want a second rounder. If you can't get a second rounder, you can work the value to give us something comparable to a second rounder based roughly on this chart. Now, each team kind of keeps their own chart. The numbers can look different, but it doesn't matter. An hour is an hour, a hundred is a hundred on whatever scale you got. So if the offer is 5 and 18 for number 2, Mitch Tischler, do you do it?
Yep. Right now I do it, because at 5 – you're getting either Isaiah Simmons or Okuda, more than likely. And if you don't end up with the two of them, you end up with the best left tackle in the draft, and you move on. And the 18, you're getting another impact player this season.
Peter?
I don't think I do it, because the Redskins have drafted plenty in the teens range. It's gotten the Jonathan Allens, the Daron Paynes, the Ryan Kerrigans, the good players, the really good players. And I know 2 to 5 isn't a huge, huge difference, but I would rather stay at 2 and take Chase Young and just have him be my one guy and hope that he completely shatters the NFL, as opposed to taking 5 and then a nice piece at 18. Give me the one super duper star at number 2.
Completely fair and valid argument. I, however, would go the other way. I would take – here's my thing. At 5, you are guaranteed – if somebody's moving up to 2, it's because they're taking Tua. So at 5, you are guaranteed to get one of – Okuda, Simmons, or Chase Young. You can even get Chase Young. Because, I mean, what if Simmons and Okuda go? Like, it's probably the slimmest of margins, but it could happen. I would take 5 and 18. And I really like Chase Young. I think he'll be a star. I think the Redskins are going to stay at number two and take him. But we had to ask Safadine from Miami what he thinks is going through the Dolphins' heads. Another pod will be out. What do you say, boys? Sunday night? Monday morning?
Yeah.
Yeah.
At this point, I think the only news that gets an emergency pod is a Trent trade, right?
Yeah.
I guess they could still sign somebody that would be a big deal. Or a pick trade. Yeah. All right. Thank you very much for listening. Please go check out Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. And honestly, if you are running around, I don't know that you're supposed to be anymore if you live in our area. But if you are out there and you can safely support your local restaurants and, you know, local people as much as you can. I know Papa John's is doing contactless delivery. And I know me and Mitch are about to get some. So how about that? All right. Time to go. Here comes Safadine.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.
There's the snap and the ribbon. Good. Oh, he's got the first down.
All right, we really appreciate Safid Dean, Dolphins reporter with the South Florida Sun Sentinel, taking a few minutes. And let's be real here, Safid. The number one option for the Redskins to trade down is if the Dolphins get desperate for Tua. Are the Dolphins going to get desperate for Tua?
If you ask me now, today, 20-something days before the draft, I would say no, they're not going to get desperate. But we all know as soon as that clock hits – as soon as that clock starts, as soon as the pressure starts rising, we'll see how these Dolphins really, you know, respond to any kind of pressure from, you know, other teams to move up and move down in the draft. If you're the Dolphins here, you know, I think the conventional wisdom says that this team moves up in the draft. You move up with Detroit or you move up with Washington and you go and get Tua if you really want him. But kind of the Dolphins kind of have some stuff working in their favor here with Tua because nobody has, you know, the true health reading on Tua. He didn't have a medical rechecked. You know, there's a video around him showing some workouts and he looks phenomenal, by the way, but you still don't know what he is or how long he's going to take to recover. And I think the Dolphins kind of have to call everybody's bluff here. You know, Washington's not going to take him. I think we all know you can't pass up on Chase Young. You already have Dwayne Haskins. The Tua talk, you know, something that I reported that, you know, Tua left the Redskins meeting, you know, with the team saying that they want to bring him in and have some competition. Well, I think they already have Dwayne Haskins. They're not going to go there. Detroit, you can trade with Detroit, but, you know, is Detroit going to pass up on Okuda or Simmons? The Giants, they don't trade down. Gettleman's never traded down every time he's been a GM, I think 7 or 8 years, no matter how he's been. Yeah, and he's not going to take a quarterback either. So the Dolphins have a chance to call everybody's bluff. The only problem is now is if the Raiders at 7 or the Chargers at 6 want to move up and take Tua. That's a bluff you can't really call. And I don't think they have the assets to kind of move up either, like the Dolphins do.
Is it all Tua or Justin Herbert? For 18 months, we've heard the Dolphins want Tua, to tank for Tua. I mean, that's who they're still all in on, right?
That's who they've been all in on, but they've been doing their research. Justin Herbert and Jordan Love, those are two guys who have really, really been examined by this Dolphins core, you know, during this draft process. It's the Tua's injury really put a damper on, quote unquote, whatever, you know, the Dolphins plan was with Tua, because they began this rebuild at the end of the 2018 season. You know, you're expecting Tua to be healthy, continue to be the dynamic player he was at Alabama. And sure, he suffers an injury that's, you know, could be career altering. We don't know if he's going to get injured again. We don't know, you know, how much of the same player he's going to be again. That's all unknown. So the Dolphins have had to do their research, and you can call it smoke screens, you can call it good research, you can call it whatever you want, but you know, I wouldn't say the Dolphins are all in on Tua, as it would seem, because you know, Justin Herbert offers health, a great arm, somebody you could train into, and Jordan Love offers a lot of upside, which is something that excites a lot of people too. So the Tua, the injury scares a lot of people off, but I mean, if you've seen this guy play on the field, which I'm sure most of you guys have, you know, at Alabama, he's a standout player. He's got some instincts and some parts of his game, like the way he can look off, you know, safeties and defenders downfield, his accuracy, his ability to throw the football is better than some NFL starting quarterbacks, in my opinion. So it's going to be hard to pass that up, but it's hard to take that when you don't know if he's going to be on the field for you, you know, long, you know, for a 17 game season.
Sure. I think, and the coronavirus has changed everything, right? Every facet of life. I think the hype around Tua would be so much more significant if he was flying all over the country, taking meetings, doing his workouts, letting everybody come to where, if he was going to have it in Birmingham or out in California, wherever that workout was going to be, would have been packed with representatives from every NFL team. And the Tua mania, as I've been calling it for a while now, would be through the roof. In this new world where it's just Tua working out with some guy holding a cell phone, it does put a damper on that. All your cards on the table, right? Let's say it's noon, April 23rd, and the draft starts in 8 hours. Are the Dolphins staying at 5? Are they moving? Because here's my thing for Miami. If you're going to move up, you better go all the way to 2. Don't risk going to 3 and letting somebody else make a move. Unless the Skins won't give you – you know, the Skins might not want to trade either because they want Chase Young, which is also a part of this. But it's 8 p.m. Thursday night, April 23rd. It's draft night. Are the Dolphins moving up? Is this thing going to happen?
You know, I think their fascination with Jordan Love kind of keeps them kind of on par there at 5. You know, I don't think the Dolphins really need to go out of their way to move up, you know, unless the Chargers and the Raiders do it. And I think if the Dolphins get word, or the Dolphins hear from the Redskins or the Lions, like, hey, we got the Raiders on the phone. They're offering this and this, and you got more. Hey, we got, you know, or the Chargers do the same thing. I think the Heat will really turn up for the Dolphins. But if you kind of look at the things that they've doing here, you try to bring Tua Tagovailoa in for a pre-draft visit beforehand. That didn't work out due to logistics and the coronavirus stuff going on. They were able to bring in J.K. Dobbins, running back from Ohio State, and Jordan Love in. So they met with Jordan Love in person, especially after the combine too. We're just getting word NFL Network's reporting that they just, you know, did a webcam interview with Jordan Love as well too. So the Dolphins are really, really doing their research on, you know, the third or fourth quarterbacks in this class. I have it as Jordan Love and Justin Herbert. I don't think Justin Herbert's a Dolphins guy. I heard him talk at the Senior Bowl, and just, you know, something about him doesn't really scream like he can, you know, go rally the troops and go to his linebackers and DNs and be like, go get a stop for me, slap them on the helmet. I got this when you get the ball back to me. I don't think Justin Herbert has that. I think that's something the Dolphins kind of been craving for the last 20 years or so since Dan Marino retired. I think Jordan Love could probably do that. He's probably a player that players want to play for. I think Tua Tagovailoa is one of those players too. But 12 p.m., draft day, the Dolphins going to make a move up. You know, it's in the cards. It's in the cards. It's whether it's Washington's going to ask for too much, or Detroit's going to ask for the good price, or if the Chargers or Raiders want to move up ahead of the Dolphins.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I do not think, and I'm going to ask what you think, any talk of Miami going to 1, I think, is complete fool's gold. I don't think the Bengals are moving out of that pick whatsoever.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the Bengals, I think everybody knows the Bengals do need a lot of pieces, and the Bengals should be open to a call from the Dolphins at least. I mean, if you get 5 picks from the Dolphins, it's kind of hard to pass up. I don't think the Dolphins would relinquish 5 picks. I think it'd probably be more in the 3 range. They try to shortchange it kind of, but I don't think Cincinnati can get rid of Joe Burrow or let go of Joe Burrow. You know, he's the best player in the draft. You went through all that losing last season for a reason. Andy Dalton's not your guy anymore. He's an Ohio native. Everything just kind of feels like it's going to fall into place for Joe Burrow in Cincinnati.
Agreed. They've been losing a lot more than just last season, too, in Cincinnati. Safid, tell everybody where to find you on Twitter, dude.
You guys can find me at Safid Dean. That's at S-A-F-I-D underscore D-E-E-N. Check me out on suncentral.com. Got a lot of stuff going on. I'll let you guys know a little bit more about Tua and the Redskins if anything happens there. What's going on with Tua at 5?
Have I been saying wrong Dolphins? The whole time?
What was that?
Am I saying your name wrong? You said Safid?
Yeah, it might be Safid, yeah.
Should I say that instead of Safid?
It's okay. It's all good.
I've known you for like 2 years. I've been saying Safid the whole time. I feel bad.
Dude, don't feel bad at all, man. I've heard it all. I've heard Safid. I've heard Sudafed. I've heard it all, man. Don't worry about it.
I get called PJ all the time if it makes you feel better.
Got it.
When you're underground in between like Grosvenor and some other stop on the Red Line, Quentin Dunbar came.
Do you think Grosvenor is between Bethesda and Gallery Place?
I didn't want to spend too much time on the Metro map, so I just said the first stop I thought of. Friendship.
Incorrect.
Friendship Heights. That's
Friendship Heights is
okay,
one.
Okay. But like, regardless.
Barely.
What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Let's ride together.